All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
In Philadelphia, about what he called the battle for the soul of the nation, blasting former President Trump and MAGA Republicans, arguing democracy is under assault. Our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, is at Independence Hall with more. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Michael. Well, this was one of the harshest critiques we've heard yet from this president. Biden arguing that the November elections are really a moral choice, warning that the preservation of our democracy is at stake.
As I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault.
Overnight, President Biden outlining a stark choice.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Biden warning their election denials are a threat to the nation.
Democracy cannot survive when one side believes there are only two outcomes to an election. Either they win or they were cheated. You can't love your country only when you win.
The president eager to make the upcoming midterm elections a referendum on his predecessor, calling out Donald Trump by name and referencing MAGA Republicans more than a dozen times.
MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence.
Violence, Biden said, like the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
They look at the mob that stormed the United States Capitol on January 6th, brutally attacking law enforcement, not as insurrectionists who placed a dagger at the throat of our democracy, but they look at them as patriots.
Hours before his speech, a judge issuing the longest sentence yet to a member of the mob, former New York City police officer and U.S. Marine Thomas Webster. He now faces 10 years in prison for his actions that day. In total, nearly 250 people have been sentenced for their roles in the attack. The former president is fiercely defending them, saying in a new interview that he is financially supporting some of those facing charges and that he would consider pardoning them if reelected.
I will look very, very favorably about full pardons. And I mean full pardons with an apology, just to many an apology.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekkr5, mountainstatesurvival.com. Welcome back to the American Vindicta Show. Well, we just had a great weekend of training out at Ready Made Resources. That's the biggest sponsor for the show. They were kind enough to host the active shooter awareness and reaction course that myself and Jamie Walden put on this weekend. Truly a great course, I believe. The people who showed up got probably some of the best training that they may ever receive in their life. This isn't, you know, Navy SEAL upside down fast roping with a Uzi in your hand type of training, but it was hands-on scenario-based training to the extent that we could push regular civilian people. And then we were, you know, we also had one of the local SWAT team members that was also out there. Gave us some really good reviews, some good feedback. Hopefully we'll be doing some work with their SWAT team soon on, you know, presenting a new look to active shooter awareness training, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all one team, all of us Americans. Doesn't matter how you vote, we're all one team. You know, the divisive nature of politics is dividing us, but I'm telling you right now, when you're caught in the active shooter, doesn't matter who you vote for, who you pray to, bullets are no respecters of persons. So that's why I like to say this is an equal opportunity style of training. The training that we put on, it's a lot of room clearing basics for the, let's say the approach to people who don't know anything about tactics. We walk them through, then we go through the crawl phase, then we went through a little bit of the run phase. The run phase was pretty fun, I will say, and it hurt a lot. So with the crawling portion of this phase, we broke down the various definitions that are within close quarters battle. Now, we're not trying to put any people on law enforcement or military style techniques and tips and levels. You know, it takes 4 years just to develop that type of skill set. But, you know, with just 3 days of training, I was very impressed at the end of the training where these guys were from when we first started. On the crawl portion of this phase, as I was saying, we are defining what rooms are, and, you know, what we went over is corner-fed rooms, center-fed rooms, hallways. We didn't go into T-shaped hallways. We didn't go into any dynamic entry. We didn't go into switchback staircases and how to clear out elevators and all this other stuff. We went over the very basics because the very basics, to me, is how to defend your home, how to protect your home, and if need be, how to go in and reconquer your home. And, you know, active shooter, shooting in general, this is a game of angles. So between Jamie Walden and myself, you know, we got a little over, I guess, a little over 40 years almost of experience there. So, you know, we threw as much at these guys that came to the training as possible. But in the most basic way that anyone could really understand, from how to hold the gun, how to walk with a gun, how to rotate with your hips when you're coming through a doorway. And there's a reason why that part's so important, because once you penetrate the threshold of a doorway, now there's nothing that is going to stop the bullets from hitting you. And that's why we call it the fatal funnel. It's the most dangerous part of law enforcement and military is whenever we come through the doorway. You always have your left and right degree of angles in the corners of rooms where, you know, it may be so dark that you can't see, or the room may be so deep that you can't see. So you can't clear it from the hallway. You got to make entry. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if this was your home, if this was your place of business, if this was your place of worship, and you happen to be the good guy with the gun, and you are the responder to the active shooter, my biggest suggestion is to be brave, walk, don't run. Whenever you start running with a gun in your hands, bad things can happen, let alone you're probably not going to find your sights. So whenever you fire your weapon, you're probably not going to hit the target that you're aiming at. And in a day of age where you are responsible for every round that leaves the barrel of your gun, you better know your target and what lies beyond it. So we went over the basic fundamentals of marksmanship. We went over the basic fundamentals of room clearing tactics. We let people learn how to give commands, a little bit of verbal judo. Now, once again, I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it. I do use airsoft guns. they are, you know, some people consider them to be toys. I'm telling you right now, with the amount of pain that I got from being shot through over, let me see, 13 people, 30 rotations on multiple different scenarios. Yeah, I got shot probably like 100 times. But I'm still alive. I'm here to tell you that it's not that bad. I think the response from the pain tells me that, for one, my students are actually using their sights. Now, once again, I'm a human guinea pig. I'm a big old tough guy. I can handle it. I allowed them to shoot me. The only thing I had on was protection for my face, center mass, and then groin, because, hey, that's going to hurt really bad if you get hit anywhere there. So I didn't wear any thick clothing. I put it out, you know, for people to make sure you wear thick clothing, because these little BBs can't hurt, and I'm probably more accurate than you are, so I'm probably going to hit you in more sensitive areas than you are. One of our guys did find that out when I shot him in the throat. So the interesting thing about this, and once again, you know, kudos to everybody who showed up, and thank you to everyone who showed up if you're listening. Those guys did great. They really impressed me with how well they were actually moving, shooting, and being accurate on their sights. You know, it took dozens and dozens of rotations the first day and then the beginning of the second day. And just teaching people how to walk, how to traverse like a tank whenever you're rotating your body from one target to another, from the left side of the room to the right side of the room. We were also teaching them why it is that I want you, whenever you come into a room, I want you to say left side clear, right side clear, and also checking the center of the room and saying center clear. And it's really just because, and law enforcement's guilty of this, military is guilty of this. During these hyper dynamic situations where the adrenaline dump is giving you the tunnel vision, you're getting the audio and the visual exclusion, you're not hearing something, seeing some things, you're overreacting, you're running, you're panicking as you're breathing. It's one of the reasons why we were also teaching the students the certain breathing techniques, combat breathing. It's all because you're going to get sucked into a corner of a room. You're going to get sucked into some portion of the room, or you're going to have the deer in the headlights situation. You're just going to freeze. So in order to avoid that, we make them say these little ditties. As soon as they come into the room, if they're either button hooking, which is kind of a direct hook around a doorway right into a corner, or crossing that threshold of a door and then penetrating the room and dominating, we were teaching them not to go too far into the room because you're going to get sucked in. If you go too far into a room after you've crossed that door, you're leaving either your right side or your left side exposed for milliseconds, which matter. Those milliseconds matter. And a lot of the students found out when they penetrated the room too deep that I was right there and I didn't give them very much time to fire back, because you have your back exposed, I'm going to take the shot. This training through pain technique teaches you, ow, time to turn around. You know, I mean, I personally was probably too close to a lot of the students whenever we were engaging each other with the airsoft pistols. So, you know, I might have a little bit of blood here and there, but I didn't die. It's not that bad. It hurts way less than paintball. It's way more cost effective. I bought 10,000 rounds just for this training, and I don't think, you know, we even really broke maybe 400 or 500 rounds through the entire thing. And if you think about that, okay, so 10,000 rounds cost me at Academy $20. 10,000 rounds of 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, 45 ACP, freaking 22 long rifle, you're going to be looking at, am I paying my mortgage this month or am I going to train? So the training costs $600. The total $650. $50 goes to the utilities that is put on by Ready Made Resources, which honestly, that's a very gracious discount. You know, there's a lot of guys who teach this type of gunplay stuff for civilians, and some of their one-day courses that are 8 hours long are $800 to $900 for one day on a flat range, and there's no moving, there's no shooting dynamically at a target that's shooting back at you. You don't have to think your way through problems. We were setting up obstacles. We were throwing smoke grenades, making it to where it was very, very hard to see. You know, I cannot replicate everything you're going to see depending on the situation that you're in, but we can do our best, all right? And this program will only evolve. You know, I mean, it probably cost me about $4,000 to put this program on out of my own pocket. And, you know, more or less, I broke even. So the good thing about this is that all I can do is throw money into this program and make it more efficient and more efficient. Eventually, hopefully, we will be having role players, people who will be playing the victims, the bad guys, the good guys, whatever it is that the scenario that I create. And once again, I think that's my specialty when it comes to teaching this type of a course. I was a guy who trained law enforcement in use of force techniques. I was a use of force instructor, so I also put people through use of force scenario-based training. And the scenario-based training in law enforcement and in the military is some of the absolute best, most realistic training that you're going to get. And that's really what helps guys get to that next level of competency within their own skills, is by getting hands-on repetitions of dealing with people who are changing the subject. They're changing, you know, whatever it was that you had to arrest them for. They're changing the environment. Could be day, could be night, could be the weather is all funky. Could be multiple subjects, could be a very large person, a very small person. All these different changes in the scenario makes the officer, or now makes the civilian who's responding to the active shooter, have to think their way through the problem. When I introduced this way of training to a lot of the students that showed up, they found that unlike what you do at a flat range, when someone just tells you, you know, ready up with your rifle and you fire, you know, 500 rounds into a paper target, that when the target, for one, is moving, arguing with you, not obeying your commands, you have to disarm them, you have to fight your way through a doorway, you have to fight your way through a room. I may not give up immediately. It may be a little bit of a gunfight in that room. Then you have copious amounts of smoke that we are throwing in, which that really sucked for me because I stayed in the room the entire time. I think we went through 4 smoke canisters. You know, in military grade smoke canisters, so they lasted for a little bit. It created quite the training environment. Once again, this was our first iteration of this training. We also included a lot of medical. I would like to see more of a hands-on medical side to this. The problem is that, you know, within just 3 days, it's hard to fit everything that we know into just those 3 days. So we're going to have to break up the active shooter course into multiple different courses for people to take. It's either that or it's a week-long event. And, you know, some guys can do a week-long event. Some guys can't. Some guys say, absolutely not, that week is reserved for me and my vacation. And I don't blame you for saying that or thinking that way. 3 days is a good amount of training for what we do. It's good for you to get the skills, the memory recall for a lot of the skills, a lot of the environments that you're going through with the training. It's also a good way to build, you know, those good basic level skills. And I mean, when I say basic, just walking through a hallway and then through a doorway with a gun in your face proved to be difficult for every single student except for one, the SWAT officer. And as we're showing them, when we start to speed up and then, you know, they started to engage the paper targets that first day, it was pretty easy, right? But the more we tell them to spin up, the more we tell them to walk a little faster, if we start putting multiple targets in there. It's making you think more and more and more. And you got to understand this, man. These guys are nervous. This is the first time they've been, some of them, this is the first time they've ever been through this training. For almost every single person there, that was their first time being involved in any type of active shooter training beyond just a flat range, you know, standing on your feet and firing into a paper target. So this immersion style training, it really opened their eyes to, you know, what this feeling is going to be when you get involved in an active shooter. It's not just for an active shooter, though. This can be taken and honed in on any type of example of a hostile situation. Active shooter, active stabbing, or what we would just say active killer. Terrorism. If you started to think about the amounts of terrorism that we've had in the United States with radical Islamic terrorism, gang fights. Hello, you in New York and Chicago, Delaware, D.C., all of California, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, the entire southwest border. You know, I mean, if you were in a big Democratic city, you're seeing this stuff. You've probably heard the gunshots at one point in time. You may have actually even been in a scenario where guns were pulled out and you were there. May have not been ready for it either. My goal here really is to make sure that people have a level of confidence in their own selves and their own skills, that we can eventually take this type of training on the road. Training multiple people, hopefully, you know, have churches that'll sponsor us for this training. If you do want to talk about this type of training coming out to your location, email me at AmericanVindictaShow@gmail.com. If you can't find that, if you don't remember it, then just go to AmericanVindictaShow.com. There's a contact slot in there. Just contact me, active shooter awareness training inquiry, and then, you know, tell me who you are. Our minimum, and you know, we didn't reach our minimum for this training, but I didn't expect it because it's our first training. But already we got groups in Wyoming, South Carolina, and Texas, possibly a SWAT team. So, you know, once the news gets out and they realize that, you know, we actually know what we're doing, people typically want to get the training because we offer it for relatively cheap compared to everyone else. I mean, 3 days of training for $600, that's $200 a day for training that, I mean, guys, a lot of the big name guys that are out there are, you know, you'd be paying about $1,500 for that type of training for 3 days. And money well spent, by the way, if you do. Money well spent. There are some big-name dudes out there that have been doing this stuff for a while. And go to them. Get that training. Get as many cross-training from as many instructors that are out there. The only thing you can do is make yourself better. The only thing you can do is expose yourself to multiple disciplines, to multiple techniques and experiences. And, you know, a lot of the guys said that some of the better part of the training wasn't just the hands-on training for the active shooter portion and we're in a gunfight together with each other. It was the little stories. It was the little tips. It was the little scenarios that we ran people through that made them think. That gave them examples that they've never heard of before. You know, when you get a guy like, you know, Jamie Walden and myself, and then one of our medical instructors, Steve Reyes, who's a retired Special Forces 18 Delta medic, you know, we have a vast amount of experience. Once again, Steve Reyes and Jamie Walden, they are the two guys that focus on all the medical. I'm going to be building up another program, possibly in late October for Ready Made Resources again, where we'll host this event again. And we're going to involve a heck of a lot more medical. I'm already looking at all the different medical devices that are out there that I'll need. That way we can do some self-aid, buddy aid, maybe some dummy drags. We'll be able to surprise you on what we can show you. And, you know, once again, on this medical stuff, on the after action, when we were talking with the students, one of the things that I was telling the students that I think is probably one of the most underrated portions of tactical training that's out there, people want they want to have their cool guy t-shirt, their cool guy tactical ball cap. They got to have the latest and greatest plates and plate carriers, the latest and greatest pistols and rifles, and they'll tell you about feet per second and grains of bullets, and half of them cannot put a tourniquet on correctly. Half of them cannot do a magazine reload correctly. As we saw on our firing line, you know, weapon safety and weapon discipline, little shaky on the average civilian side. And we were going slow with the basics. Nothing on the live fire that we did was high tempo. And there are a couple times where me and the other instructors were a little nervous. And that just becomes, that comes from the level of discipline from years and years and years, decades or more, of shooting guns. You know, I can take a carpenter, and he's probably going to take the nail and the hammer, and within probably two or three hits, you know, he's going to have the nail flush all the way against the lumber, flush against it, and no problems, probably won't hit himself in the thumb. But occasionally, that master carpenter will hit himself in the thumb. So occasionally, we have problems, right? That's just the way of the world. However, smashing your thumb with a hammer and then shooting someone's kneecap out at the range because you flag somebody, or hitting somebody in the tibia, or blowing their calf off, or hitting them in the femoral artery, or blowing their foot off, shooting yourself in the leg whenever you go to holster because your finger is still on the holster. These are the things that have always made me very hesitant with training civilians, because that level of efficiency with weapons discipline is not there. It's not your fault. You just never got the training. So whenever me and my instructors were out there on the range, you know, we try to come at it, everything as godly as possible. We're not screaming at people, but there are times you need to get, you know, someone's attention. We cannot joke around on the range about safety, because the worst case scenario is someone dies. All right, so I don't allow that to happen on my watch, so I would rather just pull you off the range if you're being unsafe and you're just not getting it. And listen, guys, you know, no disrespect to anybody that's out there. And this goes for the guys who showed up at the range, too. All y'all should know that I'm going to shoot straight from the hip, and I'm going to tell you the honest truth, whether you like it or not. That's the best thing that I can do for you, is not sugarcoating. If you want to get really, really lied to, there's a few churches out there that'll love to lie to you. Go to them. I'm not lying to you with what I do, because if I lie to you, if I sugarcoat, if I'm too nice, you're not going to get the necessary intensity and the realistic approach to how dangerous guns are and how dangerous, even more dangerous, unskilled people with guns are. So safety is paramount, right? So we may or may not have, you know, taking a few people off the line here or there, and you know, correcting them and put them back online, and that's fine. You know, we had one issue where there was a round stuck in the barrel of the pistol. I've never seen that before. The instructors have never seen that before. Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources, who's hosted probably hundreds of training events on his property, has never seen that before. And it was a factory reloaded round. A factory reloaded round. Now, a lot of people will buy factory reloaded ammunition because it's cheaper. Once again, remember, cheap ain't good, good ain't cheap. Had we, and I'll tell you how it really went down, and the shooter, his pistol, when it went down, this was not his fault. All right, this was the factory problem with trying to trust this ammunition. Whenever he was firing, his weapon wasn't going completely into battery. So that means the upper slide of his pistol was not seating all the way forward, and about a quarter of an inch was hanging off the beaver tail. So that means that the round's not completely seated in, it won't feed, and we're sitting here messing with him like maybe it's your magazine. So I switch his magazine with my magazines because they're both Glock 19s. And now my magazine is making a malfunction. I'm like, this is strange. So we take the weapon offline, and then I start to take the pistol apart. And after I completely dissected the pistol, and I'm looking in the barrel, lo and behold, there is a shiny brass object lodged in the barrel. If you do not properly clean your pistol, the riflings that are in the pistol will build up carbon. And if you're shooting quite a bit, the expansion and cooling of the metal that's inside it, the expanding gases, the carbon buildup, it can, as we saw, the barrel can actually freeze a bullet on the inside of it upon firing. And then you can have the catastrophic malfunction of a lifetime. Whenever you insert a new magazine source and then you now are able to seat another round into that chamber and fire, well, two bullets are going to meet each other with about, a quarter of an inch difference in between each other. The gun would have exploded in his hands. So, proper maintenance of your pistol, of your rifle, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know when the last time you cleaned your weapon was. As you hear it from my voice, when you're done listening to this podcast, when you got nothing else better to do tonight, take out your weapon, unload, show clear, make sure there's not a round in the magazine chamber, there's not a round in the barrel as you're looking down it, and don't point the gun at your face to try and make sure there's not a round in it. That's not safe, but it could be a life learning event. I've seen it before. Unload, show clear your weapon, break it down, get a little bit of oil, old toothbrush, clean and oil your gun. You need to be doing this. Me personally, I know some people will say, I never clean my guns. I never clean my Glock. I never clean my AK. I never clean my AR. Well, I do. I do. And a lot of guys like me do, and I'll tell you why. There's nothing wrong with taking 2 minutes, 3 minutes out of your busy day and take a little bit of CLP and a little all-purpose brush and a little AP brush, scrubbing all the carbon off everything, wiping everything down, punching the bore a couple times to make sure that it's nice and clean. And then putting your weapon back together, making sure everything's lubed, doing a functions check, put your weapon up. 3 minutes, you're done. For those of you who are lazy and complacent, keep on shooting and not cleaning. And the day you need that weapon, as we found out on the range, half the class's guns went down because of poor maintenance, because they didn't know how to shoot their weapons, because they had weapons that were untried. And that's the best place for it to fail, right? On the firing range, while we're practicing. Not in real life, when lives are on the line. However, our students found out. Your weapon system went down. All the training in the world means nothing when your gun doesn't go bang while someone else is shooting at you. You might as well just have a big stapler in your hand at that point. So, maintain proper maintenance of your weapon. One last thing before we go to a break. My best advice to anyone who wants to purchase a weapon, any new gun owner, stock factory OEM model Glock, SIG, I don't care. Stock factory pistol, stock factory either AK-47 or AR-15. You start to get into all these other different sub-variants. They look cool. Some may be cheap. Cheap ain't good. Good ain't cheap. Cheap's not reliable. Good is reliable. Good saves your life. Get a good AR-15, and I'll tell you AR-15 over AK-47 all day long. Get a good, reputable AR-15. All of my weapons come from Sig Sauer. There's other weapons that are out there. Daniel Defense is a great one. Reindeer Arms are good ones. DPMS Panther, I had that for probably almost 15 years. Never changed anything on my DPMS Panther, and I shot all the time with it for 15 years. So, you know, besides putting a new bolt carrier group in there, that thing was great. You don't have to break the budget. You know, you don't have to go with this outlandish $3,000, $4,000 AR-15. A decent AR-15, folks, is going to cost you under $2,000. It's going to be between $1,000 and $2,000. I would almost tell you, just save up a little bit more. Get that higher grade $2,000 rifle. My Sig Sauer MCX. It's a heavy rifle. Some of the guys that got to shoot it over the weekend found out. It's pretty. It's a freaking nail-driving rifle. I've fired thousands, tens of thousands of rounds out of that rifle. I love it to death. But it's heavy. It's heavy. It's going to wear you down. So, you know, for some people, and it's a full-size patrol-length rifle. For some people, that's not what you want. A lot of people also want these very short rifles. You know, the short rifles is all the rage. Well, like some of our students had out there, once you have these very short rifles, these very weird rifles that are just hodgepodge, mixed together rifles, and you start to throw these out of this world muzzle brakes, you're going to destroy people to the left and right of you on a firing range. You're going to destroy the hearing of people that are in a room with you, let alone yourself. I just have a plain Jane rifle. I do nothing except upgrade the trigger. That's it. And on my MCX, it's completely stock. I like it enough that I don't need to upgrade the trigger. I don't put binary triggers on it. I don't care to make my rifles some sort of as close to automatic as I can get. I think it's a waste of money. I think the more gadgets and gizmos you put on your rifle, ounces equal pounds, pounds equal pain. And when you start to really mess with the firing devices, well, you know, that's not stock OEM. That's not the way the rifle is meant to function. You can cause malfunctions, or catastrophic malfunctions can happen. And then your rifle or pistol then be completely useless whenever you actually need it. Now, once again, 90% of you listening to me may not have a rifle, may or a pistol, may have zero training. But the 10% of you that do own these weapons, less than 1% of you have an efficient amount of training. There are guys that came out there that, you know, from 10, 15 yards, yeah, they can shoot a tight group. That's great. But whenever I put them inside the room on a not very challenging active shooter, force on force, one person versus another person, you know, type of scenario, accuracy became a problem. Tactics becomes a problem. Footwork becomes a problem. Keeping your sights for your pistol in your eyes becomes a problem. Everybody at first, for whatever reason, they wanted to clear the room with the gun pointing at the deck. Unless you plan on shooting the bad guy's toes off, put the gun up in your eyes, is what I was constantly having to tell people. And every single student did it, except for the SWAT team guy. Every single student did it. You know, this is just the learning curve. It does not do me or any student that comes through our course any good if I make it a sweetheart deal and I talk to you all nice and lovely and I don't show you the true way to clear a room, the true way to deploy yourself in that weapon system that you're using. Because with active shooters, the best medicine to apply during an active shooter is killing the active shooter. Period. 10 times out of 10, any of you listening to me right now, any of you civilians, you are going to be your own first responder in the mugging, the kidnappings, the shootings, the car wreck, the drunk driver swerving in and out of lanes and causing you to wreck yourself, the home invasion, the trespassing. You are probably going to be your own first responder. And that means you're not going to have the cavalry to come and back you up in time. That means you're not going to have the ambulance on scene immediately. SWAT is not going to be there as soon as you turn around when there's a guy, you know, trying to come through your door, you know, or your window of your house. When you hear that bump in the middle of the night, unless you're Donald Trump and it's the FBI and they're looking for files they already approved that he had. We're going to be doing a lot of these courses. Luckily, nobody got hurt. I didn't think anybody would get hurt this weekend, but you always have to, you know, worry about that when you're training people that are not trained. I think the course went great. Everybody was that was out there when we were doing the after-action report, they all thought the course went great. Everybody wants more medical, to include law enforcement. So we're going to be including a lot more medical. I see that as good as the firearms training was, and once again, it was basic. I almost think that the firearms training was a waste of time, and I would like to keep people using the airsoft and using scenario-based training and force-on-force training. You can go out on your own, and you can, you know, go to the flat range and become a paper target terminator. You can hone your skills by yourself, or you can go to a lot of other, you know, instructors and hone your skills. That's not my forte. It's not that we are not competent in our level of skills. We can make great shooters. For law enforcement, we would focus in on a lot of that because we can go through some very advanced, more risque shooting techniques. Shooting with shields, shooting around cars, moving with teams, having an extraction of a downed officer. These are skills that we can employ for law enforcement, but I wouldn't employ that for the average civilian because the average civilian does not have a competent knowledge of even basic skills with their weapon system. That's not a dig on anybody. That's my honest opinion. And many of you email me saying the same thing. I don't know if I have the skill level to be training with you guys. You're not training to my skill level. I'm training you to bring yourself up to a higher form of skill level. And we have to use the crawl, the walk, and the run phase. The next active shooter course that we're going to be putting on late October, probably sometime next week we'll be posting when we're going to do that. I would love to see 25 students out there. That's going to be a hard class. But if we stick to just the airsoft and medical portion, we can really make that class be really, really fun. That is a awesome way for us to be very ingenuitive with our time. A lot of hip pocket classes were being done over the weekend. A lot of medical, first aid, self-aid, buddy aid. We actually had two students that would stand in front of each other and actually do a shootout with the airsoft guns. And then after the magazines are dry and the guns are empty, then they would both lay down and then their teams would come and respond. And they would be giving the medical evaluation and then applying the medical aid to the shooters that were now down. So it's a pretty cool way for us to, you know, kill a couple birds with the same stones. All right, we're going to go to our break, and we'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing, and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it. Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
All right, and we're back. Okay, so we're talking about the Active Shooter Awareness and Reaction course that I hosted at Ready Made Resources. And on the last day of training, September 4th, a very tragic event happened. And I went over the first day when we were going through the PowerPoint portion of the course. That's the driest, boring portion of the course, but you do get to see a lot of the stats, and you do get to see where law enforcement looks at active shooter and the increase of violence. Not very many people are aware of that. And here's the problem, is I talked about how active shooters are not just always for active shooters. You know, we have evolved the language to active killing. Active stabbing is on the rise in America and in Canada. It has plagued the Asiatic states, China, Japan. It has plagued the Middle East, especially in Israel with the Palestinians. And now, more especially, probably the most stabbings per capita in the world has got to be London. It's got to be the UK. I mean, they transformed an entire division of their law enforcement, which I do respect their law enforcement. However, they have a very sweetheart approach to law enforcement, which is unlike Americanized law enforcement, where we have a very militaristic, like, zero-tolerance approach. And I think because of their extremely bad politics, you now, you know, obviously you can't own a firearm, not to the capacity that you can in America and Europe, but now they are making it to where they have cache sweeping teams looking for caches of knives. Anywhere from a simple prison shank to a chef's knife that you can buy at Dollar General for a couple dollars, to your various sorts of knives. And that has become one of the most common deadly attacks in Europe. As a guy who has worked in a capacity as correctional officer, I've worked in four prisons. I've worked in the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department in Jefferson County, Texas, in their maximum unit and in their general population and medium units. You know, I've been around the stabbing world within the prison system. And this is a perfect example, if they ever take guns away from Americans, stabbings will go up 5 million% because people will always find a way to kill each other. I promise you right now, if they take guns away from people, people will be killing each other with machetes, axes, baseball bats, cars, buses, planes, trains, bow and arrows, spears, whatever they can get that's sharp and pointy or large and can incapacitate. People will always try to kill one another. You can't write any type of law around it. You know, it's like the old joke in law enforcement. You know, maybe if we made murder illegal, people would stop doing it. Maybe if we made crime illegal, the criminals would quit giving us such a hard time. Incompetency within politicians is the reason why deaths happen. Period. Because those levels of incompetency then travel down to your law enforcement, who are abused mightily by governments worldwide. And then we have the civilian populace who do nothing more than react to what the government does and then react to what law enforcement does. So it's this constant cat and mouse game, right? This is tragic, what happened here in Canada. It's tragic because I believe these events can be tamed down. You're not going to stop them. But I do believe allowing the civilian populace to put their survival chances in their own hands by carrying concealed, which, you know, I've been considering becoming a concealed carry instructor for a while now. I think I'm just going to go ahead and go through with it because of events like this. But I will tell you this much. Even if you are carrying concealed, at this weekend's active shooter course, I demonstrated with a very nice brand new shirt that even if you have a gun on your hip, even if you got 15 years of training and you're on a specialized teams and all that other cool stuff, you can still get stabbed quite a bit in just a regular old knife fight. Jamie Walden was given the good old demonstrable red Sharpie. I had the pistol, the airsoft pistol. So, you know, unloaded, but it did have the magazine was charged with air. So whenever I went to pull the trigger, you heard the audible pow. So everybody will know the gun actually went off. Well, multiple times, either by the time I have pulled the gun and did a contact shot into either Jamie's stomach or his sternum, I was already sliced. So laceration wounds. I was already stabbed. So puncture wounds multiple times. Because within this knife fighting type of world, it's a very, very intimate style of killing. And it's very common for people who kill with knives to grab their victims either by the arm or grab them in a half hug or like within grappling. I'm a grappler, so grabbing right behind the head and getting that solid purchase on the neck and dragging your victim down into your chestward area so that you have good shoulder control and head control. I've seen this before. And when I demonstrated this in front of the classroom, you could tell the people were a little disturbed, a little shocked and awed of just how much I was marked up. And if it was realistic, I probably would not have survived it. The amount of intestinal, just straight intestinal damage that I probably had, or to my stomach, or to my lungs, to my liver, lacerations within the brachial artery of the arm. I mean, it would have been horrible, guys. So, you know, let's read this article real quick from New York Post. At least 10 people are dead and 15 more have been hospitalized after two men went on a stabbing spree across Saskatchewan, Canada on Sunday. Cops said as they searched for the killers. There was two suspects identified by the Canadian police as Damian Sanderson, 31, and Miles Sanderson, 30. They both remain at large and were last seen traveling in Regina at the Regina area in a black Nissan Rogue, according to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The victims were found in 13 separate locations in the central Canadian province of Saskatchewan, largely within the James Smith Cree Nation, home to a large indigenous community, and the tiny village of Weldon, northeast of Saskatoon, says the Mounted Police. The two men allegedly targeted some of their victims, while others were random. Commanding officer of the Saskatchewan Mounted Police, Rhonda Blackmore, said, "It appears that some of the victims may have been targeted and some may be random. So to speak, a motive would be extremely difficult at this point in time." She said police began receiving the first reports of stabbings in the First Nation community before 6 a.m. More and more reports of stabbings came in, prompting the province of Saskatchewan to put out emergency alerts and James Smith Cree Nation to declare a state of emergency. Police have advised local residents to take precautions and to consider sheltering in place. According to an alert, these two suspects who were last spotted in Regina, about 200 miles south of where the attacks originated around noon local time, were considered to be armed and dangerous still. The emergency alerts were extended to cover the neighboring provinces of Manitoba and Alberta, as well as East Saskatchewan by midday. All three provinces share a southern border with the United States. So, this type of random crime spree style attacks, this was brought up actually in the PowerPoint version of the active shooter course. And then, you know, I hate to say I was proved right, but I was proved right 2 days later when the event actually happened. That the increase in random acts of violence and random indiscriminate killings are increasing within the United States, and obviously that is overflowing into other portions of the world. Training is the number one best way to take your self-defense weapons, hone your skills, figure out the problems with your weapons, figure out the lack of training that you've had, and understand proper weapons maintenance, proper weapons safety, employing your weapon, and being brave going through a door or confronting a armed and dangerous person. Training is the only way you do that. I promise you right now, to anyone listening to me, if you've never had the training, if you've never been through these types of courses, you are not going to rise to some fantastical Superman version of yourself that you dream about whenever bad things happen. You're going to fall onto your training. You're going to fall back onto the training that you've had. You will not rise to the situation. Period. You know, that's not to demean anybody. That's not to say that there can't be heroes out there. I'm not that guy. I'm not telling you that you can't do something miraculous. But you will always fall on the latest training that you've had, or the training that created the most muscle memory, the most good or bad skills. You'll always fall to your training. Even if you don't get it from me, get out there, get your training, keep praying, stay frosty. The enemy's out there. Oh yeah, one last thing. Since I didn't comment yet on what President Joe Biden said about literally more than half the country, I'll leave you with this. Let's go, Brandon. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.